Hello, I'm Jim Smith. This is audio 2 of our series. We have reached tower number 7. It's quite overwhelming for me having to speak about them in this way because they are very challenging. And yet at the same time, I begin to understand more clearly myself what the Lord is saying. You might skip over many towers, but suddenly one grabs you. And so that's why I'm just going through them quietly in the hope that that will happen. Tower 7 is called Strength, and it's based in Jerusalem. I was walking on the seashore once, and I came across a huge tree trunk, actually just on the edge of the water, being moved up and down across the stones. It was black with oil, and it had been baked hard by the salt and the sun. And it wasn't like wood anymore. It was like rock. It was so hard. And no matter what rocks it hit, it showed no signs of breaking. It was just too hard. And this, I think, is the tower in Jerusalem. It's a very old tower and a very strong one with very deep roots. The intercessors in this tower will absorb the strength that's here. And then they will have to learn to pray through that strength into the world situation, reaching out from Jerusalem. A tremendous tower, and an old one, and just a joy. The 8th tower is called Worship, and it's found in Clairvaux in France. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux was a very powerful intercessor, and he raised up this monastery and then 100 or so more because of his deep intercessory spirit. And I went there. And I stood in, it's a new monastery now, but it was a very misty day and dark. And inside the church, it was kind of dark and misty. And I got a great sense of the worship of the Lord. I was lifted in the spirit to worship at the feet of the Lord. It was so beautiful and so wonderful. And we need a tower of worship, just as we need a tower of praise. The intercessors in this tower will be so filled with worship that I suspect they'll never say anything. I think just the worship will be uplifting and uplifted, and it will move the heart of God to act in some way. Interesting, this tower and the praise tower belong together, don't they? And I'm beginning to see that all the towers fit together, each one supporting and reflecting the others, and yet all different. And this is a slow understanding that I'm beginning to get. Now, the 9th tower is called Beloved, and it's in London. And I don't understand this tower at all yet. So instead of making up some pretend words, I'm just leaving it empty for now. It will come clear to me in the end. This is a living revelation, and this piece is not yet clear to me. Tower 10 is called Pillar, and it's based in Philadelphia, which is in Turkey, which is one of the churches that received the letters from the 7 churches to the 7 churches. The church itself is a small ruin, surrounded by another faith and very isolated. Yet it stands at the end of a long valley. It's a communication centre. It's quite a key place in the ancient world, and that's its strength. It can watch, it can receive, it can send, and it can do that over the whole world. It's a strong pillar. It's a tower of great strength, and it can send out and receive. And it will have a key part to play in the tower's ministry because of its communication position. And I am learning to understand this tower and its place in the whole tower's ministry. I wonder if I did this recording in a year's time, how much different my explanations would be, because I would have gone further in understanding. So we are, as I've said many times, this is a developing revelation and a developing understanding. I hope all those who are listening can make allowances for that. Tower 11, one I love particularly, is called Tears, and it's based in Argentina. Let me read you what happened there. On 30th of April 1977, 40 women went and stood in the marketplace Plaza de Mayo to oppose the dictators of Argentina who were stealing their children and all their young men and women who were just disappearing. The dictators thought they could get away with it, but the mothers of Argentina wouldn't allow it. And every week they marched, and every week the numbers grew, and they had headscarves on them, and they were known for this. And the dictators first laughed at them and then tried to shut them up. But 4 decades later, the women were still there, but the dictatorship fell. What brought the difference was the tears of the mothers. They cried. Their tears were not wasted. Tears can change things. When women pray and cry, things get changed. Have a look at Hannah, for example. And so this is a Tower of Tears. And do I think, therefore, it's full of just women? No, I don't. Men have deep emotions too. It's just ours don't tend to be quite so near the surface. So I think it won't be just women, but I think it will be predominantly women, and their tears will be tears for the lies and deceit of the governments of the world, from the stealing of people and hiding them away and killing them. I think these mothers, these women, not mothers, it will be some mothers, of course, but women, they will be offering their tears to the Lord for these situations, and honestly believe that these women of Argentina destroyed one dictatorship, that women of the Tears Tower will destroy many. That's beautiful, isn't it? The 12th tower is called the Tower of Healing, and I placed it in Bernau, in Belgium, where the apparition of Mary in the last century, where Mary said, the water here is for the healing of the nations. Read it for yourself. B-A-N-N-E-A-U-X. Read it up for yourself if you like. That's why it's there. Now, the people of God will read this verse from the Bible. It's Revelation 22. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. That's very important to this tower. Because personal healing is wonderful. I've been to Bernau, I've stood by the fountain, I prayed a list of people that were looking for healing, as millions have before me. Hallelujah. But this tower is not for personal healing. This tower is praying for the healing of the nations. It's a tough tower then, because so many nations are troubled and sick. Many in the West have strayed from godly paths. And this tower will be praying for the healing of the nations. Intercessors here will get caught up in very tough situations. And I think this is a very tough tower indeed. For me, all my life, I've been trying to speak and challenge Christians to see their responsibility for their nation. I found it very hard to do. Most Christians are only concerned with their church or their family, or maybe a bit further, but the idea of caring for the nation is not common. So I think that this is a tough tower, tough because of what it's asked to do and tough for the situation in which it finds itself. The 13th tower is called Peace, and I've based it on Hiroshima. I found these words on a travel site. In September 20th, 1964, the Peace Bell was erected as a symbol of the spiritual cultural movement aimed at achieving a world free of nuclear weapons and war. On the surface of the bell is a map of the world without borders, symbolising the world is one. Now, I'm not criticising this at all. I think it's a noble objective, but it's man-centred. The Tower of Intercession must be God-centered. The intercessors in this tower will carry the sufferings of the world and the hope for peace and reconciliation, and it will be written in their hearts, not on a bell, and it will ring in the heart of God and not in the hearts of men. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm very moved by Hiroshima and I'm planning to go there. And the peace bell is noble. But in terms of intercession, we have to see things differently. We have to move into a different understanding, a different thinking, a different way. I think that so often the world has led the way. Good. Well, let's put our tower up and let's get on with it. Beautiful that, isn't it? Now, the 14th tower, I'm just watching the time because these videos last, audios are no more than 15 minutes. The 14th tower is called the Tower of Perpetual Worship. And this is the one where I'd like to be. In my book, The Way of the Cross, which you can get from Kindle, I wrote this description of heaven. The pilgrims wanted to mark the new beginning and the new hope. So they built a beautiful new house for the Lord. Into the foundations they poured their love, and the walls were built from their praises. A river of forgiveness flowed in the house, and they were daily cleansed and made new. They promised they would never come to his house to take, but only to give. In the house, the name of the Lord was held in high honour, glory shone, and heaven rejoiced. I remember writing those words, and as I did, I was transported into the heavenly places to experience the worship of the angels and of the invisible church. I was sucked up into that worship, and I think I was so moved by it. Somewhere, and I wrote this, where is the tower? Where is this tower of perpetual worship? I haven't put a place. That's because I think it's this. Somewhere in the heavenly places is the Tower of Perpetual Worship. It is situated in the high heavens where the wild birds fly. And I think that picture has really grabbed me, has caught my spirit. I want to fly where the wild birds fly. I want to fly high in the heavens, moving backwards and forwards, unrestricted. I want to worship. I want perpetual worship, daily, hourly, never stopping. I want to be drawn into that. That overlaps with other towers, doesn't it? But as I've said already, towers do reflect each other. Of course they do, because the Lord is consistent. The 15th tower, which will end this audio here, is the Tower of Power. It's a power contest between Satan and the Lord. Satan represented by Pharaoh and the Lord by Moses. Each plague takes things to another level and another level and another level. Each plague is asking the question, who has the power? Who has the power? We have the power. And that power is released through us. And this tower will be a tower where the power is released as the intercessors come to understand where it is needed. It is a tower of overcoming and breaking the thrust of the enemy. And it will attract enormous spiritual opposition. It's interesting that the plagues gave us the first Exodus, and Jesus was the second one. That's how important power is. It stands at the very center of the Lord's authority over the world. And this tower will be a very tough one to be in. We'll end this audio here, and I'll pick up on audio 3. Thanks for listening.